Hello and welcome to the Summit Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can follow and stay connected by going to our website, www.thesummitchurch.ca.
Amen. All right, you can be seated, which is a good segue into the Word tonight. Tonight, you know, we have taken just what God has been doing already in the midst of our 5 p.m. service. 5 p.m. has been such a unique service in its own right each and every week. You know, we try as hard as we can. We've tried as hard as we can to take the morning and transfer it tonight, but we know that, you know, only strange animals come to church at night. Yeah. You know, we love what God has been doing in our morning services. I mean, 11:30 has been hot. 9 a.m. this morning was on fire, you know, but 5 o'clock is just like its own beast, you know. So we just decided we're going to dub this service the wild card service and just let God have his way and use the tagline that anything can happen here. How many of you love to live in the space that God can do anything and anything can happen in any moment? It's such a wonderful place. Could you imagine being the man who's been laying on that mat at the Pool of Bethesda for so many years, and just all of a sudden, God suddenly just walks into the room in the form of Jesus and asks this question: do you want to be healed? Well, in my mind, I'm thinking, where have you been? You know, I've been waiting for you all of these years. Like I tell everybody, you know, Edmonton was the place that I never knew that I wanted to move. But suddenly God shows up and says, hey, do you want to relocate? And we're like, no. But then all of a sudden, God does this suddenly in our hearts. We're like, yes. And this man who's been laying on this mat for these many years, in a moment, is healed. Like, God is the most amazing, what are you doing, being that has ever existed in my life. You know, it's almost like, don't even worry about what I'm saying right now. It's all good. I'm just so excited. I'm just so excited to be under the covering of a Father who, at a moment's notice, can do anything he wants. You know, it's such an incredible place to be. And tonight, I want to minister just briefly and quickly. And I say that as a pastor, so that could be 3 hours. But I want to take these moments and talk about the comfort of faith. The comfort of faith. When they asked, you know, Jesus how they should pray, Jesus said, you know what, when you pray, pray like this. And then he starts talking about, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. For thine, say that with me, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. Do you know that I'm 43 years old, and when I was in public school, we still said the Lord's Prayer in school. How many of you are of that generation where you stood after the, you know, Canadian National Anthem and you said the Lord's Prayer? And I was sitting there as a child who didn't know Jesus. My parents had, there was no faith in our home to speak of. Sure, we believed that there was some form of God, but we never had that personal relationship. And here I am as a child declaring these words, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. You know, there's a comfort that accompanies faith. And what Jesus was saying was this: when you pray, he's taking them through the structure of prayer. And then he says, you begin to declare like this: for thine is the kingdom. God, you own it all. All power is yours and all glory is yours. You know, and as we grow and as we mature in faith, we come to an understanding that everything that has been created was created for God's glory. When you step outside in the spring and you see leaves shooting out of the buds on the tree, you realize that they are doing that to the glory of God. When the grass grows out of the ground, every single blade is doing it for the glory of God. Why? Because they are doing exactly what God created them to do. There's a comfort that accompanies faith. You know, faith is simply this: it's trusting in God's ability between the needs. We all have the ability to trust God when we have a need. But do you trust God between the needs? Is there a comfort that you slip into? For thine is the kingdom. God, you own it all. The power and the glory, it's all yours. We come to an understanding that I can live in this faith every single moment of every single day. I want to tell you a little story. I was reading this book a while ago, and actually I pulled it out to reacquaint myself with this account for tonight, and I realized how much I want to read this book again. But the book is called The Real Faith for Healing. It's written by it's written about a man by the name of what's his name? Charles Price. Yeah, Charles Price. He's an old healing evangelist from back in the day. Not tonight. Don't do this to me. You know, he comes from Britain, but spent a lot of time in the U.S. and actually Canada. And as we read his biography, he swept through, you know, B.C. and through Edmonton and Winnipeg and did all these healing crusades here. But this one little account in his book, he writes about this little girl. And he was doing a conference or a service one night, and this little girl came up for healing, and he looked at her, and he said, oh, my daughter, do you love Jesus? Of course you do, because Jesus loves the little children. And he said, as I was continuing on talking to this young lady, I saw that there was something of importance that she was holding underneath her arm. And as I asked her, I began to ask her what she needed prayer for. She looked at this man. She looked at Charles Price with this such concern on her face and lifted her pant leg to reveal this oversized boot that she'd been wearing over her deformed foot. And she showed really no emotion, just this angst of wanting this situation to change in her life. Then he asked her the question, well, what is that that you have under your arm? And she says, that's my new shoe that I'm going to wear home. Hey, whoa. Save your huhs and save your woes and save your amens for a second, because it gets better. And it says that he was so taken aback, he didn't know anything else to do but pray in that moment. And he said there was no cries, there was no yelps, there was no glories. She just sat there, received the prayer, looked up at me, and began to untie her shoe. Church, began to untie her shoe. And she pulled her foot up out of that boot to reveal a perfectly formed foot. Hang on. You guys are so eager and anxious. But then he goes on to write that she picked up the shoe and said to him, I guess I won't be needing this anymore. And went down, sat beside one of the elders in the church, put on her regular shoe that she had brought to the service alongside of her old shoe that she had been wearing, and handed the elder the boot and said, you can have this. I don't want it anymore. But he said as calmly as she walked up to the stage was as calmly as she left the stage is as calmly as she received the healing here in the midst of this man. Church, there's a comfort in knowing that God is able. There's a comfort in knowing that God is a loving God who is good, who is fair, who is just, and who loves you far more than we could ever love him. There's an incredible comfort in knowing that we serve a Father who cares for his child's every single need. Say, every single need. When Israel left Egypt, they were still enslaved because their mindset had not been changed. They were free from slavery, but they were not free from their enslaved mindset. In their minds, they were still captive. In their minds, it went from miracle to miracle. In their minds, it went from, I'm still in this place, and every time God is not speaking, we're back in Egypt already. Why in the world did we ever leave the comforts of Egypt? And they weren't comfortable by any means. They were just familiar with their situation. But there's a comfort that accompanies faith. I'm going to keep saying that to you tonight because there is a comfort that accompanies faith that allows us to settle into this place that God is good and God is for me. He's a Father who cares for me every single need. They still had God in a place where they believed that he just filled the need as it was needed, not the Father who covers and sustains. The Israelites, I'm going to repeat that, the Israelites still had God in a place where they believed he filled, just filled the need as it was needed, not the Father who fills, who covers, and sustains. They didn't have that transformed mindset. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. No, I'm sorry, Romans chapter 12. You can go to Hebrews, we're just not going to be there. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, simple, a familiar verse. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So many of us have walked in this faith journey with God, still enslaved in our mindset because we believe God is a God of need and that's it. Not the God of love, not the God who sustains, not the God who covers, not the God who watches over, not the God who loves his children and wants to fill their every single need in any single moment. We believe that he is just a God that fills a need. And when we don't have a need, then God is not there. God is not willing to talk or not. God is not able to talk. And we have our mindsets in a place that God is not able to do anything except if we need something. But we need to gain this revelation tonight and this understanding that God is a God who continually covers and sustains our very lives. In verse 3 it says, for I say though, through the grace that is given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Peter says this, that God is not a respecter of person. That any single one of us who wants to approach God in this manner, God is wanting to give himself over to them. God is not concerned with your makeup. He's not concerned with where you're from. He's not concerned with what you do. He's not concerned with the family that you were born into or which side of the world you were born into. God just loves his children no matter make or model. He is not a respecter of person. But he wants to change. He wants us to transfigure. He wants us to transform. He wants us to renew our minds to have him in a place that we understand that he is our Father, period. That he loves us, period. That he is for us, period. And he's not against us, period. That we can't live in this place where we believe that God is a God who only shows up when there's a need. Where the Israelites were wandering as free people, but enslaved in a mindset that kept them bound. We need to understand what the reality of the comfort of just trusting God. We need to understand that there's a reality that comes when we set our minds in a place that we can just solely trust God. How many of you have comfy clothes? You get home and you just slip into comfy clothes. Listen, I bought this pair of gym shorts. My gosh, they're jogging pant material. And when I get home, I'll put those babies on and turn my wife off, you know. But it don't matter. It don't matter because they are comfortable. Listen. Don't make me start talking about your house coat. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, and all joking aside, we have these comfort clothes that we put on, you know, when we get home and we know nobody's going to show up at our, well, we think nobody's going to show up at our door, we slip into the most comfortable thing we can find. And this is really, there's a freedom that comes with understanding that there's a comfort in just trusting God. I don't even know if I said that right. There's a comfort that comes with knowing we can just trust God. That God is God is God. that he sits in the heavens and he does what he pleases. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. When we understand that our Father owns it all, that he has everything sorted out, that I don't have to wait till I have a need so that I could talk to him, that I can communicate with him at any single moment. Do you know that the Bible literally says that the Israelites could not enter into the promise, not because they were sinful, not because they were complaining, not because they were arrogant, not because they were mean, but because they did not believe. They did not trust. They were restless. And they were always wondering when God would show up, when they didn't realize that God was there the whole time. We spend our lives as faith-filled believers, believing that God comes in and goes out, when we should understand there's a comfort in knowing that God is with us every single moment of every single day, that there's not a day that passes by that he is not rolling with us, that he is not leading us. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall what? I shall fear no evil. Why? Because the good shepherd is leading me. There's a comfort that comes with knowing that we can trust God. That we can trust God, and we don't want to be like the Israelites who didn't believe and didn't understand this. And we need to be like those who become the sons who trust their fathers fully, to know that every single step of this journey, he is with me. He is leading me through. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever, Psalm 73 says. He is my portion forever. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say, strengthens me. Here's a declaration that's made in Mark chapter 4. Turn with me to verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Jesus makes this declaration after he feeds. You know, the multitude. That's the word I was looking for. See, every moment I stand here, I just forget a word, but multitude. Okay? He says to his disciples this. He said, let us cross over to the other side. Let us go. There's a declaration that Jesus made. And how many of you know that not one of his words fell to the ground? Jesus didn't speak an idle word. He cautioned against speaking an idle word. So if Jesus said it, you can bank on it. But then they get in this boat. Listen, we know the story, but I'm just going to breeze through it. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in a boat as he was, and the other little boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so it was already filling. But when he was in the stern, he was asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not even care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But then he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Jesus made the declaration. Let us go to the other side. Jesus made the declaration by his action that there was peace in the situation. When they were in full torment, Jesus was still at peace. Do you know there's often times, and not that I'd like to admit it, but there are things that I walk through in my life. I know that everybody thinks I'm perfect, but I'm not. And you know that in some situations, in some moments, I can hear God laughing at my situation. Right? You guys are like, what? Are you crazy? No, I'm being serious. Like, we've been here before. Son, I've already seen the victory. You don't need to worry. But we're sitting in our uncomfortable clothes, and we're fretting, and we're all worried about what's going on. And God's like, hey, whoa, just chill out. It's okay. I've got this covered. I'm leading you through it. It's going to be all right. There's a comfort and just fully trusting God. And I know it's easier said than done, and it's easier you saying it when you're out of the situation. But when you're walking and when you're fully invested in that situation and everything's crashing down around you, you can't just sit there and hear God laughing in your situation. But you have to start listening to God laugh at your situation, because He can do whatever He wants. And while the disciples are in the main portion of the boat getting beat upon by the wind and wave, Jesus is in the stern of the boat sleeping like a baby. He's at peace with your situation because He knows you're going to make it through. But they wake Him. God, you got to get up. I'm dying over here. God's like, whoa, 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 man. Don't you remember the times and the things that we walked through already? Don't you remember the season that you walked through and I took you through? I led you the whole way. Listen, this is what I wrote about it. He says, I asked myself this question actually. I said, how is it that you have no understanding that I'm able to keep you? You need to have an attitude adjustment, because that is not going to work where we're going. This was me walking myself through major situations in my life. I mean, after the fact, of course, I'm not that calm in the major situations in my life. I freak out just like the rest of them. No, they do. But Jesus is thinking to Himself and talking to these guys and saying, listen, you guys need to change your focus and change your attitude, because where we're going, that's not going to work. You can't jump in faith and jump out of faith and jump in faith and jump out of faith as it's convenient for you. There has to be a sustainability to your faith. There has to be a sustainability to your faith. Listen, we look at Paul and we look at his situation. You can go into 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and walk through everything that Paul walked through and see the situations that Paul faced. We don't get to see it firsthand, but we get to see it in a reiteration as Paul's making declarations of all of the persecution that he walked through because of the gospel and for the gospel and for furthering the kingdom. But there was a peace that we see that was in Paul, in the core of his being. There was a trust that God, or that Paul had in God between the needs. There was a trust that was in Paul. Paul's faith, I want to promise you this. Paul's faith was exercised more in the seasons of scourging, in the times of scourging, than it was in the seasons of the signs that he was performing. Because how many of us know that when The music's loud and the word is good and everything's just rolling your way, it's easy to have faith. But when you feels like you're swimming upstream, it's harder for you to believe that God is good and that God is willing and that God is ready in these seasons. And when Paul was walking through these times of persecution, you know that he had to bear down in his faith and find that place of comfort in knowing that God is still good and God is still with me. And I'm not out of his favor. I'm fully in where he saw me to be, and I'm just moving through. This isn't going to kill me. This isn't going to set me back, but this is only going to strengthen the kingdom of God. And one thing I'm certain of is this, is God was more encouraged in those moments than he was when Paul was walking out the miracles. He was more encouraged in the moments when Paul was suffering and in the full measure of persecution. That's not what I wanted to say, but in the full measure of persecution, maybe it was. I asked Holy Spirit for help, so we're just going to roll with it. In the full measure of persecution, God looked down and said, my son, he's not giving up. He's pushing through. Everything that I have set in him, he's standing on. He's resting in. Yeah, it's great when we get to witness and partake in the miracles. It's great when we get to witness and partake in the prophecy. It's great when we get to witness and partake in the worship, when we're in the high praise moments of our life. It's incredible. But when we get down into the valleys and we walk into persecution, we walk into torment, we walk into these places that we think, God, have you left me? When we still can stand and rest in the faith that he set inside of us, it brings an encouragement to the kingdom. It brings an encouragement to the Father. He says, you know what? I'm going to give you more. I'm going to give you a greater measure of that faith so that next time it's not going to seem so hard and it's going to seem like the trials are smaller and shorter and easier to walk out. Nathan, you can come on up. Doesn't mean I'm done. It just means Nathan's coming up to accompany me. That's funny. I like that. I like when you guys laugh. It's good. Faith is what? It's trusting in God's ability between the needs. There's a comfort in knowing that there's a element of faith that we can walk in that never has to leave. And so often we get into places where we think we have to drum up our faith, which there are moments that we do, but do you know that there's a faith in you that can stand the test of time, that can stand the test of trial? You have been equipped. You have been called and declared an overcomer. Why? Because there is one that lives in you that's greater than it all. The same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and gives life. Say life. Life. Gives life to your mortal body. Paul's declaration in Colossians chapter 4. I love this. I don't even know when it became a revelation to me, but I was reading out of, well, obviously Colossians, because that's where we are, but I was reading Colossians. And you just come to the end of his letter. It's a letter that was written from prison. And some think that in this same place, this is where Paul wrote the letters to Timothy. So he understands. Well, he doesn't understand, but we understand now that if that's true, then he's coming to the end of his life. He writes these words. He says, "In this salutation by my own hand, Paul, with the subline, remember my chains." And he wasn't saying, "Hey guys, feel bad for me. Give me the accolades because here I am and I'm suffering for the kingdom." What he was saying was this: is this is going to cost you something. Consider where I am and understand that this will cost you something, and it's about to cost me something. But there is a faith in me that has stood the test of time. It has stood the test of trial. It has stood the test of persecution. And I know that my full reward isn't in this earth, but it's where I'm going. And what I fear in my life personally is that I get my mind focused here and I'm working for a full reward here. And I constantly challenge myself to continually set my mind on heaven, because everything I see here is but a piece and can't even measure to what's coming. Paul settled into that place of faith where he set his full trust in God, and this trust that he had was able to sustain him in life. There's a place we get to as believers that we can slip into this comfort. You know, just every time you think of slipping into the comfort of faith, just remember my jogging shorts.
Yeah, or Heather's house coat. I'm going to send that up as a burnt offering before the Lord. She says, listen, I know we were super spiritual for a second, but now we're going to be more spiritual. She says to me, when you're gone and you leave those shorts out, I'm going to cut a hole in them. I'd still wear them, but anyway, I said, that's all right. I'll burn your house coat. I don't care. You want to play that way? I'll burn that thing. Whether you're wearing it or not. No, I'm just joking. Stop. Church, listen, I know, and listen, laughter's good for the soul. You know, it is. You know what's funny is it's professional, by no means am I one, but professional communicators will teach you that you need to make them laugh because it'll help them learn and help them listen and help them receive more. And I don't try to, it just comes out, and I apologize if it's offensive. My jogging shorts, of course, but anyway. Paul knew this. Paul was assured of this. It's his kingdom. It's his power and it's his glory. And if this is where I'm going, you need to understand I'm here because of him. I'm here for him. And I'm here to advance his kingdom. And as he made the declaration, remember my chains, he was saying not only it's going to cost you something, but I regret nothing. See, Paul's trust wasn't in his own ability, but God's stability. There's a stability that God has that nobody else can match. And when we step into that, when we rest in that, we know that we're not only in the hands of the Comforter, but we're in the hands of a Father. And if I was to encapsulate tonight, and what I'm trying to reiterate is this, is you don't need to fear. You don't need to fret. You don't need to waste time worrying. Because God has you exactly where he wants you. And if I only knew this 20 years ago, I'd be a far better man than I am now. But I've had to struggle through the years to gain this realization and this revelation that God is guiding me every single step. God is watching over me and God is keeping me. There is a Father who cares for me far more than I can ever care for myself. And he loves me far more than I can ever love him and is concerned with that. His desire is that he would be able to lead and to take me where I need to be. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. The reality of the comfort of just trusting God. Could you imagine if we could turn back the pages of history and had an opportunity to just share this message with the first generation of Israelites who left Egypt? I said, listen, don't worry. You see, God is so good that even in the midst of their unbelief, he took care of them. He sustained them, made sure they had clothes to wear, made sure they had water to drink, made sure they had food to eat. And listen, if God does that and is receiving that fruit from these people, could you imagine the ability God would have and what he would be able to do in a life that is fully surrendered, fully willing, fully ready? I need us to see these things, the things that aren't written in the word but are there for us to pull from. Could you imagine what it would have been like for the Israelites? You know that was an 11-day journey from Egypt to Canaan, and they wandered 40 years and didn't even make it. Could you imagine if the UN left unbelief and just became, they made it to the promised land because they believed, because they trusted? Pastor Holly said it this morning. When you have faith, you trust, and with trust comes rest. There's a restlessness that leaves you when you trust. And when you enter his rest, the reward that is waiting there for you. So I want to do this corporately, and if you need prayer beyond that, I'm going to ask the prayer team to just be ready to come to the front. If you need prayer beyond this, then I'm going to invite you to come. If there's prayer for healing, whatever it is that you need, we are open and ready and desiring for you to receive that. Amen. Sometimes we just need somebody to come in and couple our faith with yours. You know, a couple, sometimes you just need somebody to say, hey, listen, I'm running with you. I'm trusting with you. We're going to see this through. Just close your eyes, and if you're comfortable doing so, lift your hands. Father, we make the declaration with our hearts that you are good. And Father, we thank you for the goodness that you bestow upon us. Lord, we thank you that this whole life was birthed in love. That your son came in love, that he healed in love, because, Lord, you are in love. So, Lord, I make the declaration over this house that our cares are laid down at your feet. Our worry is surrendered to you. Lord, we want to step into the comfort that accompanies faith in you. Lord, we are done trusting in our own ability and setting our focus and setting our trust in your stability. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. Lord, we thank you for the things that we've already received, Lord, and we thank you for the things that are still on their way from heaven. Lord, we declare again and again and again that you are good. And Lord, that we trust fully in you. Thanking you for every blessing in your mighty name.